And this is the talk station, AM 1500, KSTP, St. Paul, and Minneapolis.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. About 24 hours ago, the busiest bridge in the state of Minnesota collapsed, and many, like Jessica Engelbertson, are still holding out hope that their loved ones are alive. Jessica's mom is one of the 30 people still unaccounted for.
We just hope that God will be with her right now and just stay strong. I know she's living right now. I just know it. I just know she's really strong.
The search for bodies has been called off for now. The current is too strong. Federal officials have alerted states to immediately inspect bridges similar to the 35W. It was actually deemed structurally deficient 2 years ago, but state officials insist it was safe. ABC's Aaron Katursky says they're taking no chances with the rest of the state's bridges, though.
The governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, ordered all bridges designed like the one here that collapsed to be inspected.
This is obviously a horrific incident that takes your breath away and sinks your heart. And in the horror of this incident, there is a silver lining, and that shines through, and that is the goodness of Minnesotans.
Many Minnesotans we've met here say they're baffled how a bridge they've reliably crossed for the last 40 years can just collapse. Investigators from the National Transportation Safety Board are on the scene. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Minneapolis.
Capitol Hill police in Washington are said to be ramping up security in the weeks leading up to the 9/11 anniversary, but Homeland Security officials insist there are no credible threats against the U.S. Capitol. Barry Bonds will try to break Hank Aaron's record at Dodger Stadium in a few hours. ABC's Alex Stone is there and says tonight would certainly be ironic.
Sherry, the Dodgers say it's complete coincidence that Steroid Awareness Day fell on a night when Barry Bonds is going after the home run record here. About 100 young baseball players are on hand learning the consequences of using steroids. They heard from Dodgers center fielder Juan Pierre.
Number one, steroids is bad for you, and number two, is illegal.
The Giants have one more game here tonight before moving on to San Diego. Sherry.
You're listening to ABC News.
Another how-to half-minute from the Home Depot.
Honey, I just took all of Billy's art off the fridge.
Yeah?
There's a problem. Come look.
Problem? What could possibly be the... Oh, man.
I know. The fridge is uglier than I remember.
Looking for a good reason to update your appliances? Try a Home Depot gift card up to a $250 value by mail-in rebate when you buy a major appliance. But hurry in. Offer ends soon. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Good through August 5th in U.S. only. Minimum purchase $297. Void or prohibited. See store for details.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here, so you know what that means. It's Honda clearance time, and if you're into trucks, you are going to love this, because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, the classy CRV, or an 8-passenger Pilot for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look at your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2007 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking.
It's 88, mostly sunny in Minneapolis, St. Paul. 4 a.m. 1500 KSTP News. I'm Nancy Fox. Federal officials are alerting states to immediately inspect all bridges similar to the Minneapolis bridge that collapsed into the Mississippi yesterday. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters signed off on an advisory sent by the Federal Highway Administration. It urges state transportation departments to conduct inspections of bridges similar to the steel deck truss bridge that collapsed. An agency spokesman says there are about 700 steel deck truss bridges. The spokesman says the cause isn't known, but that Secretary Peters wants to make sure that the states are taking every possible precaution. Minneapolis bridge disaster could break a stalemate over transportation funding between Governor Pawlenty and legislative leaders. A special session is a possibility after the bridge collapsed. The Republican governor made it clear today that he would make the response to the collapse his top priority, a sentiment echoed by Democratic Senate Majority Leader Larry Pogemiller. That includes the possibility of a special session. Lawmakers and the governor have disagreed for years over how to boost state spending on roads, bridges, and transit. Divers spent a short time in the water today, but they got out because of debris and currents. However, before they curtailed their efforts for the day, they located four cars underwater with sonar. Jeff Storms is with the Hennepin County dive team.
We're regrouping for the safety of the divers. We're making sure that we're taking this methodically. We do have these cars pinpointed on our sonar with GPS, so it's easy to get to it. But it's the man-made eddies that were created by the dropping of the bridge. We have a high river flow behind it that's flowing through very small openings. It's creating a lot of flow. on the backside of that. So we're working through the Corps of Engineers and our partners to try to correct that issue and make it as safe as for our rescue personnel as we can.
Storm says he doesn't know when divers will be back out. They're having the Army Corps of Engineers come in to remove some of the debris. They also hope to lower the level of the water from around 9 feet to 7 feet by using the lock and dam system. Wisconsin's governor offering to help Minnesota in dealing with a bridge collapse. Governor Jim Doyle says his state's emergency management officials have repeatedly been in touch with their counterparts in Minnesota to see if any manpower or equipment is needed. In Hennepin County, Sheriff Rich Stanek has some requests from the public. For one thing, please stay away from the area.
We're asking for three things from the public. One, stay away from the scene. Let the rescue and recovery workers do their job. There's a number of people that still need to respond to the scene.
Five eyewitness weather from Chicago Windler. Clear tonight and cooler. Tomorrow sunny, less humid, 87. Saturday, we do have a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high of 79. And Sunday, a bit warmer, partly cloudy skies, some isolated rain possible with a high of 84 degrees. Right now, 88 at the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
This is Disaster on the River, an ABC News radio special.
I gotta tell you, it's the most awful thing I've ever seen.
There's cars in the water, there's a semi on fire, there's a school bus on the bridge. It's a mess.
My truck got ripped in half. When I got over my truck, it was folded in half. I thought I was dead. I literally thought I was dead.
It is a recovery effort in the river, not a rescue effort, but a recovery effort.
Complete disaster. Everybody was completely shaken up. Cars were everywhere, front end smashed in, cars in the water. The entire center section of the bridge is just laying right across the Mississippi.
We thought we had done all we could. Obviously, something went terribly wrong.
We will absolutely get to the bottom of this. There were a lot of decisions made, a lot of judgment calls made, and they're all going to have to be critically reviewed.
Lucky that I'm alive. Lucky that I could live to see another day. Lucky that no kids were killed or seriously injured.
This is obviously a horrific incident that takes your breath away and sinks your heart. And in the horror of this incident, there is a silver lining, and that shines through, and that is the goodness of Minnesotans.
Here is ABC News Radio special correspondent Gil Gross.
It was a few minutes after 6 on Wednesday evening. Some headed home from work in Minneapolis, some from a summer fair, others on the I-35W bridge across the Mississippi because of the Twins game. Ashley Williamson is looking out at the view from a restaurant because she heard a rumble.
I seen a big semi-truck blow up, and then from then on it's just like dominoes. Everything just fell. Every car basically fell in the water.
Leona Karstens, watching from her apartment window, said it all happened so fast.
People didn't have time to react and to get out of their cars.
Yeah, I have to tell this guy that. He was on the bridge.
The bridge started shaking and it felt like he had a bad alignment. And I said, what's going on here? And all of a sudden I just saw the front part come down. It collapsed from the end.
And it didn't go slowly.
All I remember feeling is just feeling this boom, boom. And then we just kept, and my husband was saying, are y'all all right? Are you all right?
It was 6:05 on the bridge, all lives in peril. For some, the next moments would change their lives. For others, the next moment would end their lives. Chuck Hoffman barely got away with his.
I looked forward, and the bridge ahead of me was undulating. And I thought, this could collapse, too. I could go down. I kept going, and I made it.
Nevada Torrance told me of the shock of what he saw through his windshield.
I saw the vehicles directly in front of me drop straight down.
He and his family were on that center section that fell almost flat into the Mississippi, just a few feet from dropping off into nowhere. They were able to jump to a part of the bridge still connected to the shore. Imagine being in a car falling before you even know what's going on.
We know we fell, I don't know, 40 feet. We don't know how far we fell. And then we fell on a car. So we think the car might have been accelerating behind us, and my husband was trying to stop, because we didn't know what was happening.
On ABC's Good Morning America, survivors tried to describe the unimaginable. Melissa Hughes.
The car in front of me seemed to slide towards me, but it seemed like I recall seeing construction workers in the air, things suspended in air.
And Gary Babineau now realizes what may have seemed like nagging was life-saving.
If I didn't have my seatbelt on, I probably would have went through the windshield, and I'm just so glad I was wearing it. So, you know, thanks, Mom, for telling me to wear my seatbelt.
For some, their stories ended within moments, under debris or trapped in the river. Dr. Douglas Brunette at the Hennepin County Medical Center on those who are fighting to survive.
They're critically injured, which for us means life-threatening, and they may make it, and some of them may not.
President Bush.
Terrible situation there in Minneapolis.
He'll arrive in Minneapolis Saturday. Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty took note of the aid that Minnesotans gave one another, some running to the rescue even after barely escaping death themselves.
This is obviously a horrific incident that takes your breath away and sinks your heart. And in the horror of this incident, there is a silver lining, and that shines through, and that is the goodness of Minnesotans.
Noah Kunin is one of them. He saw this from his apartment building, got right out there.
Since the cops hadn't gotten here yet, and neither had the medics, somebody had to help them out, so figured why not go.
Well, many went. They did their best, but Sheriff Richard Stanek says there are some people who just could not be helped.
Well, we know there are a number of vehicles both either submerged or partially submerged. I don't have an exact number. We don't know that for sure. That's what the divers and the side scan sonar are trying to locate for us.
And Police Chief Tim Dolan says many of the people in those cars are still there.
We know of several people that, who are pinned or trapped, were at the time when we left them deceased.
Jennifer Engebretson says her mom, Sherry, is among the missing.
We just hope that God will be with her right now and just stay strong. I know she's living right now. I just know it. I just know she's really strong.
ABC World News anchor Charlie Gibson in a helicopter above the wreckage.
We're over the collapse of the 35W bridge right now, and when you look at it, it looks almost benign, sitting there so peacefully, but it was anything but peaceful last night. Divers have tracked by sonar where the cars that went into the water are located, but it is still so unstable around the bridge itself that they dare not go any closer. And they have seen that in the cars that still sit on the bridge, there are dead bodies. But they cannot get at them yet because, again, the bridge is too unstable.
So why did this happen? National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Mark Rosenker said could be months before we know.
It is clearly much too early in the initial stages of this investigation to have any idea what happened.
But one thing we do know, as said by Minnesota U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar.
A bridge in America just shouldn't fall down.
And by the way, since we talked to Jennifer Engebretson, who said that she knew her mom was alive and hoped she would stay really strong, we received the sad news that her mom, Sherry, did not make it. Now, in this hour, we're going to talk to our ABC correspondents on the scene, survivors, engineers. We're going to hear what happened, we're going to hear why it happened, and think about what may have to happen now. But let's start with one of the most harrowing sights in this story, that school bus precariously perched on the edge of forever. ABC's Aaron Katursky is live with us from Minneapolis with a story of what turned out to be, Aaron, the field trip of a lifetime.
Unreal, Gil, and right now I'm looking at that very school bus perched kind of precariously on what's left of the I-35W bridge. It's actually one of many cars that's left in the wreckage. Some are intertwined with twisted rebar, others dangle like a youngster's loose tooth. Some are actually piled on top of each other. But this particular bus has really become something in this story. The governor, in fact, referenced it in his late-day briefing as part of a handful of good occurrences in a river of bad ones, a reminder that this tragedy could have been worse. It became an early, indelible image in this unfolding tragedy, Gil. The school bus caught on the bridge as it collapsed. It carried several dozen children, including 10-year-old Kaylee Swift, who used her cell phone to leave this desperate message on her mother's voicemail. The girl is okay now, but the thought of a mother listening to something like this, so frantic from her daughter, is heart-wrenching. Kaylee and the others were coming home from a day at a water park when their bus began to plummet. Lynn Lubin was driving on the bridge and saw the children.
I could hear all the screams, and I saw, like, the kids on the bus holding their seats up, holding onto their seats right in front of them, and then it was down.
The children's camp counselor, Jeremy Hernandez, was driving the bus.
I just heard a big bang, and I thought we were in a car accident.
but then I felt the bus going down because I was feeling like I was going over the seat. And then it crashed, boom, landed, and then it felt like we kept still going because then it went down again, then it crashed, and it stopped.
The bus finally came to rest on a slab of bridge. Officials believe it fell more than 30 feet. That it toppled like a domino helped cushion the final blow.
I didn't really think the whole bridge gave away like that. I thought it was just our bus. I didn't know till I turned around and I seen cars in the river.
The kids were disoriented.
You could hear kids like moaning and crying, and the dust was in the air. You couldn't see the kids yet though, and then when the dust settled down, they all just started screaming, we're gonna go in the river, we're gonna go in the river.
They didn't. Hernandez and other motorists helped deliver them all to safety.
I'm trying to tell them, you gotta get off the bridge, and then people are running up to the bridge, hand them to me, and I'm handing kids over to the guys that were on the streets right below it.
Tonight, the driver, 20-year-old Jeremy Hernandez, is credited with doing a fantastic job of evacuating children in mere minutes. To the parents of the children, the driver is no doubt a hero. That all the children survived is a miracle. Gil? And there
Aaron,
are other small miracles, Gil.
Yeah, you've been there since before the sun came up. You've been watching the, I guess, what's become a recovery effort. Sadly, we can no longer call it a rescue effort. Tell me about what you've seen today.
Well, we have seen divers bravely and really depressingly go into the water to try and search for the cars that are submerged, search for bodies. It became too dangerous later in the day. The current was too strong. They had to pull the divers out, only making it that much more agonizing for the families who are still waiting for word about relatives. The death toll has been confirmed at 4, but that number is going to rise, Gil, because authorities told us today they know for sure there are bodies still trapped beneath the water.
They've been down there. They've seen. So tell me about the mood in the city the day after.
There's a combination, I'd say, of bewilderment at just how a bridge that was reliably crossed by thousands for 40 years just goes kaput. And then there is also this unspeakable horror that people are still reliving, that moment when in less than 3 seconds that familiar bridge suddenly became just a gap in the landscape. And people are really struggling, I think, with the way that people met their untimely deaths, just being on a bridge, wrong place at the wrong time. And I think all of those emotions are coming together here.
Briefly, Aaron, other than that iconic school bus, when you got there and took a look, what was it that really drew your attention?
I think the emptiness, Gil. Bridges have kind of a storied relationship with their city, and just to look out and know there is supposed to be something there, but instead it is a shredded mess and there are just crumbles in the water below. It's just wrong. I saw it from the air flying in and then getting here on the scene. It's just a mess.
All right. ABC's Aaron Katursky live in Minneapolis. Coming up, we're going to hear more, by the way, about the mood in the city from a talk show host at KSTP in Minneapolis. We're also going to hear from our own ABC's Jim Ryan about the history of this bridge.
Disaster on the River, an ABC News radio special, continues after this. When it comes to, we encourage you to listen as often as you can to Twins games this season on AM 1500. But there are a few places where it might not be acceptable, like at a piano recital.
What kind of play is that?
While at an airport.
Right back. Oh, there's a bomb.
Or at a wedding.
Does anyone object to this union? Yeah!
Everywhere else is okay with us. Listen to Twins baseball all season long here on AM 1500 KSTP.
At Cubs, we've been bringing more to your table since 1968, and this week we're bringing a really juicy deal to the table of Dana Cook in Zimmerman.
Hey, thanks for coming. Welcome to our house.
Dana, this week at Cub, you can get delicious, whole, seeded, or seedless watermelon for only $3.48 each. These are the freshest, sweetest, juiciest watermelons we could get our hands on, and now through Saturday, they're only $3.48.
That's fantastic.
So how many kids do you have, Dana?
We have 9.
That's got to be a lot of groceries.
We go through about 12 gallons of milk a week. We can eat a watermelon in a single sitting.
$3.48 for a whole watermelon. I mean, it's a little
lowest I've seen yet.
Do you ever carve your watermelon into shapes?
They just eat it so fast, it's not worth it.
It's in the shape of gone.
It just gets crazy, but it's a lot of fun.
Sweet, juicy, delicious, whole-seeded or seedless watermelon for just $3.48 each. Limit one. Now through Saturday at Twin Cities Cub stores and save even more on gas. Now you can use up to 3 Cub gas coupons and save up to 90 cents a gallon at any Twin Cities holiday store. Offer good now through September 8th. See store for details. Cub, bringing more to your table.
Hi, everybody. Ron Shearer here. If you're a pet owner like me, there's one subject we don't like to think about. What happens when it's time to say goodbye? Well, I'm talking about Pet Cremation Services of Minnesota. They offer a private, same-day cremation service. They serve the entire Twin Cities. Your dog, your cat, or any beloved pet will be handled with care. Pet Cremation Services of Minnesota. Ease your aching heart. Call them, Pet Cremation Services of Minnesota, at 952-925-1234.
This is Lauren from the Home and Garden Show, and I want to tell you about a great product and a great company, Affordable Granite and Stone. If you're thinking about adding granite to your kitchen, your bathroom, or maybe the fireplace, give the folks at Affordable Granite a call at 763-450-3700. Affordable Granite is a husband and wife-owned business, and they offer the best installation of granite I've ever seen. Any joints are just about invisible, and when they're finished, it will look like the granite just grew around your countertops. I visited their showroom and even their warehouse myself and saw the many different types of granite and colors from all over the world. Affordable Granite and Stone is the only one in the industry to offer you stain-free granite. And for your new or existing granite, protect it with Granite Guard, and you'll never need to reseal your granite again. Both come with a 15-year transferable warranty, and 0% financing is available to qualifying purchases. Get the granite you've always wanted, stain-free, with 0% financing, only at Affordable Granite and Stone. Just south of Highway 55 on the corner of Vicksburg and Medina Road. Phone number 763-450-3700. 763-450-3700.
One of the worst jobs in the world is sealing your deck. Picture the scorching sun. You got to sit there and seal your deck. You try to put it off every other year. It doesn't always work that way. You might call over your brother-in-law, hey, come on over for beer and pizza and help me seal my deck. He doesn't always go for it either. Why don't you try Seal Max? They'll go for it, and they beer, and they don't need pizza. They'll do it in a day, pick up the telephone, and get on their schedule. Before the big party, they will seal the deck. They'll also seal the dock at your lake home, your cabin, wherever. 888-668-6447. Let them sit out there in the scorching sun. They're happy to do it because they realize with the 25-year guarantee on their product, they're happy and you're happy. So pick up the phone. 888-668-6447. It's called Seal Max. When superior performance and appearance are your only option, call Seal Max. S-E-A-L-M-A-X-X. 888-668-6447.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Disaster on the River, an ABC News Radio special continues. Once again, here's ABC News Radio special correspondent Gil Gross.
You know, bridges are special, not just because of the beauty of some of them, but because they are the backbones of cities. And yes, we may take them for granted, but when a bridge is gone, disaster or not, a city changes. ABC's Jim Ryan is live in Minneapolis to tell us about this particular bridge. Jim?
It had a long storied history, about four decades old, Gil. It was the late 1960s. The interstate freeway system was still young, and America had just gotten its driver's license.
Pontiac announces the great American sport for 1968. Wide tracking.
Let you and me go.
We had places to go and no time to get there. And big steel truss bridges were an efficient, cost-effective, and quick way to span wide gaps, like the Mississippi River here in Minneapolis. But were we in too big a hurry? Critics say early truss bridges didn't have enough built-in redundancy to carry heavy loads over many years. And while he's not blaming a design flaw for the tragedy, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty has ordered all such bridges in his state to be inspected now.
This is obviously a horrific incident that takes your breath away and sinks your heart.
But hold on, says White House Press Secretary Tony Snow. That's being done anyway.
This is a unique catastrophe.
But on the other hand, there is also a vigorous program of doing inspections already around the country. The Department of Transportation sets standards for doing inspections, and states carry out those inspections. They do so on a regular basis.
A 2005 inspection report suggested that this bridge had structural deficiencies. And while she insists that in and of itself did not represent a significant risk, Department of Transportation Secretary Mary Peters promises,
"We will take every step possible to ensure that something like this does not happen again."
But even as the search for more victims resumed this morning, Congressman Jim Oberstar of Minnesota was looking beyond the Minneapolis disaster.
"This is yet another wake-up call for the nation's infrastructure."
Now, Gil, bridge collapses like yesterday's are mercifully rare, considering there are thousands of bridges like that, but they do happen. In 2002, for example, 14 people died when a barge, pushed by a tug, crashed into the I-40 bridge over the Arkansas River in eastern Oklahoma. Since then, Oklahoma has undertaken a rigorous program to replace or completely remove more than 800 bridges over the next 8 years. Gil.
ABC's Jim Ryan in Minneapolis. We may see a lot more about that. By the way, later in this program, we will talk more about the engineering, about the condition of our bridges around the country, and so on. But I want to find out more about the mood in Minneapolis-St. Paul today. And to do that, we go live to Joe Souchere. Joe Souchere is the afternoon host at our affiliate KSTP in Minneapolis-St. Paul. Joe, I want to talk to you specifically because you're Twin Cities born and bred.
I am.
And yeah, I know, and you're really going to know the difference between your city today and you know, the day before this happened. So tell me what it's like there today.
I think peculiar to this area was the idea that of such astonishment that, for example, last night there was a scene that was opposite what we saw on September 11 of 01 when we saw New Yorkers understandably fleeing an area of catastrophe. Last night you saw absolutely a rush of Minnesotans attempting to get there, and it wasn't for any macabre reason. I genuinely believe it was because we figured we might be able to do something, or we were upset that this happened.
I got to tell you, though, at 9/11, I saw a ton of New Yorkers, especially fire and police, running toward that scene also, although they did run away when the collapse happened and that big cloud came. The mood in the city, one of the things, if you want to compare it to New York, I mean, there was just shock that went on for days. And I remember looking down Fulton Street, looking toward where the World Trade Center used to be, and just seeing skies. So when people in Minneapolis are looking at the river and seeing this field of debris on something that many of them went over, you know, several times a day, what are you hearing from people about that?
The tremendous fate that occurred to people. I talked to many people this afternoon who said they were on the bridge 3 minutes before it happened, 2 minutes before it happened, 30 seconds before it happened, a half hour before it happened. And the disbelief that such a thing would happen, it's quite astonishing to see that gap in what essentially there is a river valley, and people to this moment are still standing there staring at it. And I think there's a great deal of astonishment. There's not disbelief, and there's not panic, and there's not hysteria. It's just this overwhelming sense of, I guess you'd call it, some sort of extraordinary disappointment.
Let me ask you about one emotion that you didn't mention. Anger?
Yeah, I think that there is, but there is a degree of patience. I sense today that people are entirely willing to let this resolve itself so that we can understand why this happened. I know there's been an instinct to say that it should not happen, but as you well know, bridges do fail. We don't know why this particular one did. It's only 40 years old. It wasn't a particularly attractive bridge, but it probably was the busiest bridge in the metropolitan area.
Yeah, the busiest bridge, as a matter of fact, in the state of Minnesota. Joe Souchere from KSTP, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Gil.
All right, Joe Souchere live in Minneapolis, and as I said, a native born and raised, and he knows the difference in feelings. Now, Joe Chapman was jogging underneath the bridge, and he talked about what he saw to ABC's Charlie Gibson.
I just see a huge cloud of dust just coming my way pretty much. And then I turn the corner, and then they're like 50 yards in front of me is the interstate. It's right there in front of like where I was about to run.
So what did you do when you realized that it had come down?
I quickly ran up there, and then me and this other guy, I'm trying to see if there's anybody that needs any help. And there's a big, like a hill that goes down to the river. So like, we all went down there and helped some people get off of the bridge.
What was the sound like?
At first, when I took off my headphones, and it was just complete silence. And then after about 10 seconds, I heard a bunch of screaming and everything.
Joe Chapman, who was jogging underneath the bridge when it came down, talking to ABC's Charlie Gibson. Coming up, what may have happened to this bridge? Also, how safe or unsafe is the bridge you drive on? And an exclusive interview with the mayor of Minneapolis, R.T. Ryback.
Disaster on the River, an ABC News radio special, continues after this.
I'll never again ask you to pull my finger.
I will never watch another episode of The Three Stooges.
I will always remember our anniversary, and this time I mean it.
You'd be surprised what some guys will do to be able to play a round of golf.
I will go to every chick flick you want to, and I'll like it.
Good thing they don't have to sacrifice to get the best golf advice. Available weekday afternoons at 5:10 from Jock Olson.
I will start asking you if what I'm wearing is okay.
They're quick, they're free, and you won't have to jump through any hoops to get them. Jock Olson's Golf Tips, brought to you each weekday by Better Rated Insurance.
Come in for a quick dip over the lunch hour. The Melting Pot in downtown Minneapolis at 9th and Marquette has a fantastic lunch package featuring their signature cheese and chocolate fondues and salads for only $15. For more information or reservations, go to meltingpot.com.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor. But it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high net worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high net worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-955-1179. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-955-1179. That's 1-800-955-1179.
You save big money, you save big money when you shop Menards.
At Menards, you'll find the largest selection of Mastercraft doors. Right now, save 12% on all of Mastercraft's custom collection interior doors. Choose from 41 glass designs and 24 panel designs in 8 wood species or prime. Choose your door style, size, and wood species to give your home a custom look. There are over 4,000 combinations on sale at Menards. Continue that look outside with Mastercraft's huge collection of exterior doors. Many are ENERGY STAR rated. A 32 or 36 inch wide steel pre-hung entry door comes with insulated glass and is ready to install. Only $139. Plus, there's zero interest till 2009 on qualifying purchases with your Menards big card.
Save big money at Menards.
There are natural cures for virtually every disease, including diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, acid reflux, chronic pain, even herpes. I'm Donald Barrett, founder of ITV, and I just bought the book Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. I was so impressed to learn the natural, inexpensive cures that are being suppressed by drug companies that I bought over 1 million copies of this book, and I'm giving them away. That's right, get your hardcover edition, a $30 value, absolutely free. Just call 1-800-270-1784. That's 1-800-270-1784. And get your free copy of Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About, absolutely free. There are natural cures, and they're being hidden from you. Call 1-800-270-1784.
Don't miss the Ron Gartenhire Show, Sunday mornings from 9:30 to 10, brought to you in part by GHJ Financial Group. When it comes to retirement, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Will you be ready? Log on to AM1500.com and type in the keywords retirement planning to find out.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP. Disaster on the River, an ABC News Radio special continues. Once again, here's ABC News Radio special correspondent Gil Gross.
R.T. Ryback is the mayor of Minneapolis. This has been quite a couple of days for him. He joins us live from where the families of the missing are gathered. Mayor Ryback, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Gallen. I appreciate the work that you've been doing on this.
Well, I appreciate all that you've had to go through. You've been talking to the families of the missing. Tell me what they're saying to you.
Well, there are obviously some extraordinarily tragic stories here. And earlier in the day, I spoke with a widow who is now grieving her husband and trying to explain that to children. That's unquestionably as difficult as you can get. But I'm here at a center now where I'm dealing with people who are dealing with not finality, but ambiguity. They know enough individual pieces of information that make them very, very concerned, but they don't know enough to know whether their loved one is here or not. They're also, unfortunately, in the situation where we may not be able to tell them anything final for some time. And when I say for some time, need to unfortunately be vague, because we don't know how many people are in the river. We don't know how long it will take to get to them. Tragically, we know that people in the river are no longer alive, and that means that as we go forward on this, our goal is to minimize, obviously, any other loss of human life, and that includes our responders. So we want to make sure that our responders are not put in a position in which they're jeopardized. So what we'll be dealing with now in these first couple of days, or however long we've been in this, has been difficult. But I think now we're going into a period where, instead of just dealing with the response and the tactics and how we rescue and how we recover, now we're dealing with the emotional issue that will go on for some time.
You're dealing with the emotional issue, but you also mentioned about dealing with the responders, making sure nobody loses their life in this rescue effort. This is tricky. You've got a lot of loose debris in a river with a heavy current. This is still a very dangerous operation.
It's a very dangerous operation. We are blessed with the fact that that this spot in the river, which was originally the only natural waterfall in the Mississippi, now it's controlled with a lock and dam. And in this situation, what that allows us to do is to a certain degree, control the flow and the height of the river. So we're managing that and trying to get the right balance to slow the river down to make the recovery more successful. And so we are able, in this period, this is one of those moments where controlling the natural flow of the river is extraordinarily helpful to the very difficult task we have in front of us.
Mayor Ryback, finally, let me read you the lead of a story that AP has out now. It starts like this. Minnesota officials were warned as early as 1990 that the bridge that plummeted into the Mississippi was structurally deficient, yet they relied on a strategy of patchwork fixes and stepped-up inspections. We thought we had done all we could, State Bridge Engineer Dan Dorgan told reporters. Obviously, something went terribly wrong. And hearing that, how do you react?
I'm the mayor of a city that's in charge of emergency response, and I'm extraordinarily proud of the emergency response work we've done. Over these next coming weeks, we're going to have to be asking some very difficult questions about why does a bridge fall in the middle of rush hour? What can we learn about what happened and how do we prevent it? Those are extremely important questions about the state's responsibility, the federal government's responsibility, and tough questions, very tough questions, have to be asked, especially when you're dealing with this massive loss of life. I can say that in these early hours, the president, the secretary of transportation, the governor have all assured me that they will take the aggressive steps necessary. Our senators and congressmen are on that point, and this will take a huge effort to understand this. I've got to tell you this one thing, too. that in the wake of this tragedy, when we're now focused on a single piece of infrastructure in one American city, we're also dealing with a country that has underinvested in its infrastructure for many years. And it's important, no matter what happens with this horrendous tragedy, that people get focused on the fact that we have not focused enough on those basic pieces of infrastructure we use every day, and we've taken too much for granted.
Mayor R.T. Ryback, I thank you so much for being with us. Mayor R.T. Ryback, live, the mayor of Minneapolis. So, all right, what may have happened here? Well, Henry Kaufman's an engineering professor at the University of Southern California. I covered the I-95 bridge failure. That was Connecticut back in 1983. That was about, I don't know, a 100-foot section that just came down. The rest of the bridge stayed up. Were you surprised by how total this destruction is?
Not really. Most structural failures occur at the joints or the connections where they come apart. And then what it is a domino effect. One section comes down, then it takes the other section with us and the other section with it. We saw a lot of this in 1994 at Northridge earthquake here in Southern California, this sort of thing. We had some bridge collapses, and it was pretty, the concrete deck usually comes down with one in whole, in part, and then it always separates at the expansion joints or the connection joints. So that really didn't surprise me at how it failed.
A lot of these interstate bridges were built generally around the same time around the country when the interstate system was put together, from the late 50s through the 60s and into the early 70s. So a lot of these bridges are reaching the same sort of 30, 40, 50-year mark in terms of their age. This bridge was 40 years old, and I think a lot of people are wondering then whether enough inspection, whether enough money is being put into infrastructure. I imagine busy rush hour traffic for a half a century is going to take its toll.
Yes, right. A structure, a bridge, or a dam is very much like a human body. It has a design life to it, and during the life of its structure, you have to maintain it. Now, that's something that the American people really don't want to invest their money in. They'd much rather invest in new structures, new improvements, something they can see and have the enjoyment of right away. And maintenance is another issue. Governor Schwarzenegger here in California passed this $42 billion infrastructure bill because California's gone about 30 years without improving its infrastructure. But it ages, it wears out, and we have to pay attention to it. We have to continually inspect it, and we have to fix it and retrofit it. The bridge was fine when it was built new. It was built in those standards of that code, but the code has been strengthened. We're always looking to improve it. And in the last 40 or 50 years, there's been quite a few changes in the design criteria of a bridge, and we constantly need to go back and what we call retrofit it, strengthen it to meet today's codes, and also to maintain it. One of the chief reasons, my speculation, and I really don't know because it's going to take quite extensive engineering investigations, will probably take about 6 to 12 months, but I suspect the climate has a lot to do with it, particularly in Minnesota, where you're subject to extreme cold with gusty winds in the wintertime. In the summertime, it's extreme heat with high humidity. It's over the Mississippi River. And so with temperature, the structure expands and contracts. And then when it expands, you get water in the cracks and ice, and it pops it open more. So over the years, it deteriorates. Just like our body slows down. And the best example I can give you is when if you go to the gym and you work out, you can just do so many repetitions, and then pretty soon your muscle gives out, it fatigues, and you can't do anymore. Well, that's structural fatigue works the same way. After the years, it just doesn't work anymore, and you have to go back and re-strengthen it, called retrofitting it.
Okay, Henry Kaufman, engineering professor at USC. Okay, that's about that bridge. So what about the bridges that you travel on? We'll talk about that with ABC's Betsy Stark and talk to a survivor just ahead.
Disaster on the River, an ABC News radio special continues after this.
Man,
and these GPS navigation systems are great.
Turn left in 500 feet.
Tim Tim, should I turn around at the next on-ramp?
Turn left in 300 feet.
Tim Tim, have I missed the turn?
Will you quit interrupting me?
Sorry.
I'm trying to tell you that after you launch your boat, you should put on your life jacket and keep it on the whole time you are on the water.
But I'm a good swimmer. I don't need a life jacket.
Good swimmers drown in boating accidents every year. The sudden gas that occurs when you fall into the water can cause you to breathe in water and drown unless you are wearing a life jacket.
Tim Tim, should I use minnows or a crankbait?
Maybe you should just go back home and mow the lawn.
Sponsored by the Minnesota DNR.
You know the drill. Just a pill to get through the flight. Or maybe a glass of wine. Maybe an antidepressant to help control your anxiety and depression. Maybe a nerve pill here and there just to help you cope. Maybe a drink at night just to take the edge off. And that second drink, well, who's counting? But nobody knows how much you worry, how stressed out you are, how inadequate you feel. Nobody understands the fear you have, the lack of satisfaction in your life, the loneliness. Well, I understand. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center. I suffered for over 20 years with anxiety, depression, panic, and stress. Maybe you don't have to depend on medication and alcohol. There's a better, long-lasting, healthy way to help yourself. Please call right now and let me send you a powerful free tape that could change your life.
Call now and we'll send you this wonderful free tape. Call 800-660-1794. 1-800-660-1794. 1-800-660-1794.
Are you spinning out of control looking for the right entertainment? Comcast can put you back in control. Because right now, you can get Comcast Digital Cable for only $29.99 a month for 9 months. Choose from your favorite channels, major networks, news, sports, kids programming, and more. And get access to on-demand with hundreds of programs. Many are free. Comcast Crystal Clear Digital Picture is no gimmick either. With a dish, just wait for a severe storm and bam, you'll be staring at static. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Call 1-888-COMCAST today. Digital Cable from Comcast has hundreds of choices that will keep you entertained with on-demand control that lets you decide what to watch and when for only $29.99 a month for 9 months. That's Comcast Digital Cable. No contracts to sign, no expensive equipment to buy. Don't get caught up in the spin of owning a dish. All facts point to one phone number, 1-888-COMCAST.
Offer ends 8-15-07 and service must be installed before 8-31-07. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Limited to new customers. After 9 months promotional period, Comcast regular charges apply unless service is canceled by calling 651-222-3333. Equipment installation taxes and franchise fees extra. For more information, call 651-222-3333.
News doesn't always happen at 5, 6, or 10. When it's happening around the block, across the street from where you work, where you live, 5 Eyewitness News is there. When it's important to you and your family, we go head-to-head with the people who are making news to help it all make sense. When you want to know more, we stay with the story every step of the way, getting every question answered. That's when a story is more news. That's what we do every day. 5 Eyewitness News. We are more news.
Welcome to Lowe's. How may I help you?
Well, our daughter has a birthday in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm, and we're thinking of getting her a playset.
Are they hard to install?
We can take care of that for you. So, yes, it's really easy.
When it comes to improving your home, Lowe's makes your projects convenient and affordable. Now get special values August 2nd through the 6th, like 10% off installation and materials when you purchase any playset, fencing, storm door, or storage building. We select installers based on their area of expertise, so you can be confident that your installation is done right. In fact, our installation services are guaranteed.
So let me get this straight. We don't have to read instructions, pick up a hammer, or anything?
We pretty much just sit back and watch.
Exactly. Here, let me show you some of our most popular playset designs. Hmm. Now, how old's your daughter?
Oh, she'll be five. And
five.
She's going to be so excited.
Oh, boy.
Get your project started today with 10% off any installed playset, fencing, storm door, or storage building. Lowe's. Let's build something together. Discount taken at register. See store for details.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Disaster on the River, an ABC News Radio special continues. Once again, here's ABC News Radio special correspondent Gil Gross.
So what we're all wondering today is, was this an isolated incident? ABC's Betsy Stark has been looking into that. You've been looking at a report on our bridges. What have you learned?
Well, Gil, one of the things we learn is that what happened in Minneapolis should be a kind of a warning shot across the bow. That Minneapolis bridge, along with one in four bridges nationwide, about 160,000 bridges, were rated by the American Society of Civil Engineers to be structurally deficient or functionally obsolete. What that means is that they were not built to handle the volume of traffic that they now carry.
Well, the interstate system largely built in the 50s and 60s, and a lot of these roads now going out to suburbs with malls and shopping centers, when they were originally built, were going by a few houses out to farmland, where eventually the highway would kind of peter out into a two-lane road. When they built these things, it was hard for anybody to imagine the load they'd be carrying.
That's right. I mean, you know, this is really a sign of the way the American economy has grown, and that urban sprawl, which became suburban sprawl, and now has given birth to a commuter economy, which any commuter can tell you can be pretty horrific when you've got to make a two-hour drive every day in dense, thick traffic. And this is so it's not just the bridges, it's as you point out, it's the roads, it's the railroads, and in terms of this report card from the civil engineers, if no matter what you look at in terms of the American infrastructure, look at public drinking water or airports or the electric grids, everything is being strained by an economy that has grown massively since this infrastructure was put in place.
Finally, speaking of the economy, people will say, well, fine, then fix it. This report from the American Society of Civil Engineers addressed the cost of that.
Hugely expensive. I mean, they estimated that it would cost $1.6 trillion over 5 years to fix everything. If you just want to fix the bridges, maybe $10 billion a year for 20 straight years to bring 160,000 bridges up to par. Is that money available? Well, as you can imagine, there's a lot of competition for it because there's a lot of other infrastructure that needs to be fixed. And not to mention the spending that states, and a lot of this is funded by states because these are local assets, that money states need to spend on Medicaid, on public pensions. So this is a daunting task.
All right, ABC's Betsy Stark. And this is an important point. The America we know, the interstates, the overpasses we take for granted each and every day, came to life after World War II. The interstates, the idea of President Eisenhower, they were built in the years of Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon. Our highways of the future are now part of our past. Some of the bridges that were 20th century sleek are on their way to becoming 21st century antique. And here's the problem. People want more highways to get past the ones already clogged, new bridges to new places, or new mass transit so you can leave it all behind. There is just no demand for fixing what we already have. And no politician wants to go to the ribbon cutting for a new weld, a better bolt, or the replacement of an expansion joint. Fixing infrastructure isn't sexy, but it may be a matter of life and death. And coming up, we will talk to a survivor.
Disaster on the River, an ABC News radio special continues after this.
Hey, it's the Rook here for Newgate Education Center in Minneapolis. For over 25 years, they've provided some pretty darn good services to people from all walks of life. The Wheels program provides single parents desperately needed transportation for free. They also have the tuition-free certified auto training. Boy, that'll give a student a big-time boost as well. They rely on your donations, though. Who donates? I don't know, maybe you just received some really bad news from your mechanic on your late model vehicle. You're faced with an expensive repair. You don't want the hassle. Don't let someone just take it off your hands for next to nothing. Donate it to Newgate Education Center. Hey, your deduction might be worth more than you think. Late model vehicles with engine, transmission, or collision damage provide great training opportunities for their students. Vehicles used for training qualify for the best write-off available, fair market value. Call Newgate for details. 612-378-0177, 612-378-0177, or online at newgateschool.org. Tell them Rook sent you.
Mark Moeller here for RF Moeller Jeweler and Rolex Watch. Being an official Rolex jeweler is an honor and requires that we maintain a standard of excellence that has become synonymous with the Rolex name, a name that for generations has come to mean timeless elegance, exceptional ruggedness, and unsurpassed dependability. Every Rolex timepiece is created with incredible care and attention to detail. What gave the very first Rolex its unique character and what perpetuates its superiority today is the way in which the case, the crystal, and the crown fit together to form an assembly comparable to an indestructible miniature safe. Rolex watches are so reliable that they have traveled the entire earth from the highest peaks to the deepest oceans on the wrists of some of the world's most notable explorers. They have become synonymous with success and excellence. To see a selection of Rolex timepieces, visit RF Moeller Jeweler, your official Rolex jeweler. RF Moeller Jeweler, 50th and France in Edina, Ford in Cleveland in St. Paul, or in Gavaday Common next to Neiman Marcus in downtown Minneapolis.
How many years will it take to pay off your mortgage? 20? 30? The rest of your life? Well, what if I said you could eliminate your mortgage in as little as 5 years with just the money you already make? And what if you could get a free tape to get you started today?
In 6 years, we were able to pay off our mortgage and all of our debts. Today, we are totally debt-free.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. You can eliminate all your debts, including your mortgage, in as few as 5 to 7 years. Call today and I'll send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system. That's right, free.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
You can eliminate your debt faster than you ever imagined. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. 1-800-300-2173. That's 1-800-300-2173. 1-800-300-2173.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP. Royce.
I was there.
Disasters on the River. And ABC News Radio special continues. Once again, here's ABC News Radio special correspondent Gil Gross.
Well, this is an unspeakable tragedy. And I want to talk to one more person who went through this. Her name is Breanne Stately. She was at the scene. You remember Aaron Kaczorski's story at the very beginning of this special about that school bus, that story that began this hour? Well, Breanne was watching that as it happened. And Breanne, tell us about what you went through.
Well, we felt shaking and heard it rumbling. And then the center of the bridge went down. And then the V-shaped slid. We were right behind the school bus. We actually weren't on the bridge when it fell. We pulled off the exit just before that. But when we pulled off the freeway, we were behind that school bus.
You were right behind that school bus.
Yeah.
You saw it clearly with the kids?
Yes, we did.
And you're upset just as I even mentioned that. What were you doing? What were you saying? What were you thinking?
We started calling 911, and my mom is a minister, so we were praying. She's driving, and we're hollering at people that didn't see it but heard noises to get back to try to help people. And then I brought my mom home, and my brother and I ran back to the scene. It was about a mile. We ran back and tried to help anybody that we could, and we just really wanted to make sure that those kids were out. And when we got back down to the river, they were actually throwing the kids out of the back of the bus over the guardrail.
You could see the kids on the bus. You knew it wasn't an empty bus.
Oh, yeah. No, we were directly behind them, and I knew it was a full bus.
And in your gut, I mean, it sounds like you were thinking about them almost as much or more as you were thinking about yourself at that moment.
I thought about them and more. And then on the other end of the bridge, you could see a blue minivan sliding sideways down a 45-degree angle. And that was the last image I saw before we crossed over the other bridge. And so I really thought of them and the people in the blue minivan. I wanted to make sure, when I got back, I wanted to see that minivan was still there, and it was still on the bridge, and those people were pulled out also. So, yes, I was very much so concerned about the other people. I don't feel as though it was anything, you know, major for me, because I wasn't actually in the bridge, you know, when it fell.
Another couple of feet you
were the other people. Yeah. Yes, but I wasn't, and those people were, so...
If you had to give me one last picture of something you saw that you just can't get out of your mind, what would it be?
All the people running and jumping off of the riverbanks to jump in the water and try to swim to help people. That and the people wandering around bloody on the bridges. Sorry, that's my granddaughter.
Well, Breanne, thank you so much for taking the time, and I'm glad you can be with that child. Go back to.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Breanne Stately. Oh, the kids got out of the bus, as you know, which is remarkable. Imagine, as bad as this is, how much worse the story could have been. But, of course, this is not a fairy tale. This is a tragedy. All the endings are not happy. This has been and remains a story of remarkable courage, a story also of a remarkable tragedy we can all relate to every day we go to or from work or school or our loved ones make the trip. If there's a story I'm never going to forget out of all of this, it was Minneapolis Police Chief Tim Dolan telling of emergency workers who jumped into the Mississippi looking for survivors and what they found there and in other wreckage were people pinned, partly crushed, barely conscious, and as fire and smoke rose from the debris, Dolan says, those people, knowing their lives were ebbing away, told those rescuers who could not rescue to say goodbye for them to their loved ones. For all of my colleagues, I'm Gil Gross, ABC News.
When breaking news changes the world in an instant, ABC News, accurate, credible, unmatched, on television, radio, and the internet. This is ABC News.
Yeah, hi. I'm conducting a quick survey about a service here in the Twin Cities. Would you mind participating?
Sure, why not?
Okay. This particular service has many great features I'm going to tell you about, so when I read some of them off, I want you to tell me if you don't care, care, or if you care a lot, okay?
Okay.
All right, first one. This service will make you smarter.
Care.
Okay. With this service, your opinion not only matters, it'll be heard by hundreds of thousands of people.
Care.
This service could at times cause you to laugh, cry, shout in agreement, or pound the table in disagreement.
Sure, I care about that.
All right, one more. This service could introduce you to the most amazing people you'd ever want to talk to.
I care a lot.
Are you familiar with the service I'm talking about?
I can't say that I am.
It's the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Really?
It shouldn't be hard to figure out what station you should be listening to. The talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
The talk station's real-time traffic with Kenny Olson.
Who do we want?
Kenny! Kenny! Kenny!
Exclusively on AM 1500 KSTP.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
I'm Sherry Preston. Transportation officials in every state have been ordered to inspect all steel and truss bridges similar to the one in Minneapolis that collapsed last night. In the Twin Cities, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty is promising to find out what went wrong.
We will absolutely get to the bottom of this. There were a lot of decisions.